So once a year, we have the opportunity to celebrate the Immaculate Conception and also try to explain the doctrine of the Immaculate Conception. But you see, it is just fitting to celebrate the Feast of the Immaculate Conception at the beginning of the season of Advent. Because if you look at it, the coming of Mary actually plays a role in the Advent or the coming of the Redeemer, the coming of the Messiah, the coming of the Messiah. What role did she play? And why is it important that the Church would define this doctrine of the Immaculate Conception? Why could Mary be just an ordinary mother like any mother? Why should he be special? You see, in scriptures, there are two texts that explains the Immaculate Conception. And these are found in Genesis chapter 3, verse 15, the first reading, specifically when the reading says that I will put an enmity between you and the serpent and the woman, so that from the beginning there will be a separation, there will be an enmity between the serpent, who is the symbol of sin, and the woman. So that the early church fathers interpreted that at the beginning, Mary already, as the new Eve, remember who was the first to have no sin? Eve, because she was the first woman. And sin entered after the original sin when our first parents failed, after the first fall. So that the second Eve should be more than the first Eve, who is going to receive on her womb the Son of God, the Son of God. And that is why in that text in Genesis chapter 3, verse 15, there would be an enmity, the symbol of sin, the serpent, and the woman. That from the beginning, this woman is separated, will not be contaminated by sin. The second text you will find in our gospel today, in Luke chapter 1, verse 28, specifically, which says, Ave Maria, gratia plena, full of grace. But you will not understand the text unless you have a little background of Greek. Greek. So I'll explain to you a little. That use at the end of its word, Omicron, O, the letter O. There are only few. And whenever it is always used, whenever a Greek word has an ending of O, when it's conjugated, especially in a perfect participle, perfect passive participle, it means that it is something, it's passive, it's something that is amplified and put into it. Okay? I'll give you an example, the word lyokos. Lyokos means white. When you conjugate it and use it in a word, and you say lyoko-o, which end now in o, omicron, that means to make white. Okay? So, lyokos, which is white, when you conjugate it and use the word last letter O, omicron, and you say lyoko-o, it becomes you make white. Okay? Let's apply that in charis. Charis means favor or grace. Okay, charis means favor or grace. In the original Greek text, the word used is kario. Kario. Which means to make full of grace. It's not only a regular grace, regular favor from God. God made this woman full of grace. What do you mean by full of grace? What do you mean by full of grace? There was a long discussion. We're going to trace it, you know, starting from the 6th century, 8th century, 13th century, up to the 15th century, the Council of Trent. We're going to be here until tomorrow. But it's safe to say that this is how they did it. Remember that the doctrine of the Immaculate Conception was declared in December 8, 1854. December 8, 1854. Okay? And what is the text? What did that text say? We declare, we promulgate, we define the doctrine. Okay? We declare, we promulgate, we define the doctrine that the Blessed Virgin Mary is full of grace by the merits of Jesus Christ. Okay? By the merits of Jesus Christ, that she was not contaminated by original sin. Okay? Was not contaminated by original sin. This is how it was explained. Full of grace means that from the beginning, a person should not be contaminated by original sin. But you have to know what original sin is. Because sometimes we have the wrong notion of original sin, that the sin of Adam and Eve was passed to us wrong. That's not the definition of original sin. Okay? That we were born with original sin, that we were born with the sin of Adam and Eve. No, that's the wrong definition. When we say original sin, it is the original lack of grace for which God has created you. Okay? Because of the first sin of our parents, they were actually in state of grace when they were born because they were the first man and woman. But when they committed the fall, that grace was removed. Okay? So that a person who has original sin lacked the original grace, the state of grace for which God has called him. That is why we are prone to sin. That is why there is that inclination to sin, because there is now a lack of that original state of grace that man has. That's what Mary has from the beginning. Okay? That God, through a singular act of grace, has given this woman that privilege to be born with the state of grace, not contaminated by original sin. Copy? Did you understand? Is that clear? And this is how I will explain it also in the layman's term. Okay? It's like a bottle of purified water. Bottle of mineral water. Or a soft drinks. Or for any bottle that is always, any product that is bottled. Do you know that in order for that product, any product to be put inside that bottle has to be sterilized. Sterilized. Completely sterilized, purified. Why? Because if there is a, what do you call that? if it's contaminated, anything that you put there will also be contaminated. Right? And that is why the bottles are sterilized. Soft drinks bottle, ketchup bottle, whatever. They are sterilized. Here is God going to send His only begotten Son. Do you think, by simple, you know, logic, do you think He will use a receptacle, a womb that is not fully pure and immaculate? In God, everything is possible. My favorite text is Romans chapter 8, verse 30. What God has foreseen, He predestined. What God has predestined, He called. What God called, He in turn glorified. Glorified. And that is why Mary was chosen by a singular act of God to be the mother of His only begotten Son and was preserved from the stain of original sin. And that is what we are celebrating. 4 years after the promulgation of the doctrine of the Immaculate Conception entitled Ineffabilis Deus, there was a big event. Anybody? Lourdes. March 25, 1858. December 8, 1854 was the promulgation by Pius IX of the Doctrine of the Immaculate Conception. 4 years after, in Lourdes, Bernadette Soubirous saw Our Lady. And what was the title of the lady? Yo soy Immaculata Concepción. Confirming what the church have defined, promulgated as a dogma, as a doctrine. Now it's coming from the mother when she said to Bernadette Soubirous, I am the Immaculate Conception. For those of you who have gone to Lourdes, that you will see in that cave, there is there written in French, actually not in French, but in Spanish. You will be saying, why not in French? Because during that time, that part of Lourdes near Toulouse speaks Spanish. That is why the text there is, Yo soy Immaculata Concepción. I am the Immaculate Conception. And today, we're celebrating it. How does it affect us? Why is it related to us? Because for the simple reason that every time we, you know, try to be pure, every time we attempt to be pure, every time there is that strong desire to be like Mary, the more grace we receive from God, the more we are disposed to receive the grace from God. That is why it's so important to celebrate it. Just like Mary, who was immaculately conceived, if we also would purify ourselves and remain pure, the more the grace of God will work in us, the more we will also feel and experience the grace of God working in us. Please all stand.